in a private residence in Rosedale, is filled with a family of spirits. Sightings of two men are sometimes seen standing outside their home. The young man blows wafts of smoke, while the older man, with leathered skin and a balding head, sits nearby. In the front window, a woman with red hair looks into the street. It's believed the family was involved in a fatal car accident. A ghost of a black dog has also been sighted in the court. A resident living in that property had heard of the ghosts, but hadn't seen any, and was thinking his sister was crazy. Until one day, he was home alone, sitting at the piano, when a little girl said, "Help me!" right in his ear. No one was there. Startled, he fell off the stool. He then believed his sister's stories about the family of spirits who lived in the property with them. On another occasion, he saw the big black dog in the nearby park on his way to school one day. As he approached, he realized it was a ghost. The Baker's House on Prince's Street has a report from a psychic written about the property, saying it was haunted with the spirit of a man who was assaulted to death, that there were also elemental spirits. The Baker's House was one of the first to be built before 1867, and not much has changed since then. It's still standing in its original form, consisting of 6 rooms. The residents who lived there are tormented by a spirit. One of the bakers landed up in bankruptcy court. Little is known about him, and after that, the bakery changed hands regularly. 3 lost souls have been discovered there. One is very angry. The resident experiences feeling seasick as they walk down the straight, flat hallway. On a wardrobe at the end of the hallway, atop that wardrobe is a suitcase with many travel stickers on it. It has spun around all on its own. Blue and purple lights hover down the hallway. Light reflects off nothing onto walls, as though reflected from a mirror that isn't in the room. There is no natural light that comes into the home, so reflecting light is very interesting. The hanging globe began to swing with no reason. Only 2 windows in the property open, and none were open at the time. Also, the building is quite sheltered. Before the wardrobe, at the end of the hallway, is a trapdoor to a cellar. The cellar I had the opportunity to explore. It would have kept the flour dry. It was quite creepy, and it was dug into the clay beneath the building. It was quite big, but it appears the only entrance to and from that cellar was the trapdoor. You would have never got horses down that. John Williams, who we met in Rosedale History, owned a property which experiences poltergeist activity, evidenced by drawers being opened and contents left on the floor. I'm not sure why his property is haunted. It's unlikely it was him. Would be interesting to discover why his property is haunted. On the Rosedale Road that takes you through to Wollong is another story of where a woman's spirit is seen. They say, "Beware of Kitty Jones's ghost. Don't stay out too late or she will get you." Kitty arrived in Tassie as a convict. When her time was up, her husband had passed away. She moved to Luoyang. The large run to the east of Rosedale Run in 1849. There she married Mr. Jones, and They had a daughter together. In 1862, Mr. Jones and Catherine went to Tarraville and married other people. While married to each other. That has a little to do with the ghost story, but it is scandalous, even by today's standards. By the time their daughter was an adult, she married and owned a hostel with her husband in Willung. Catherine visited her daughter in Willung, where she drank heavily, so heavily she passed out. Her travelling companions tied her to the top of all the things loaded onto the wagon and set out, returning home. No sooner had they left, the cart toppled over. Crushing Kitty. It's believed when she awoke in her spirit form, she was enraged. Her bedraggled, thinner apparition with untamed hair is seen in the Willung Township, especially after night. Her demeanor is still of one who drinks too much, shouting and waving her arms at you. On the corner of Kanzik Street and Rosedale Stradbroke Road is the Old Shire Building. It also houses the Historical Society and Op Shop. The first Shire Building was also built on that site in 1870. However, it was rebuilt in 1913 by, of course, our friend William Allen. Since then, the Shires merged in the 90s and this building turned into a daycare. Why so much history in a ghost episode? Well, it explains why. A spirit of a child is felt there. Photos of Cor Orr. A child lost his life at a young age, but he loved playing in the yard. Using it, not as how it is seen today, but how it was when he was alive. Swinging as though the swings still are there. Sliding down the slide. He's not always seen here. His home was a happy home. So he is sometimes playing there. He will be forever young. In a private residence on Kanzik Street, a resident has woken to a ball of light hovering at the edge of his bed. That same ball of light has also been seen floating in the hallway. Things switch off in the house, like Xboxes and computers, but nothing else. But all the supplies in the main switchboard are still on. A guest in the house saw a woman in white in the backyard. The resident regularly hears someone running around the backyard and shaking the doors. He is still yet to see the woman in white. He always gets up and checks. There's no breeze and the shed doors are locked and nobody is there. This is a house with cupboards that click closed, like the type you find in caravans from the 1960s. In this home, those cupboards spring open on their own with no reason. They're regularly all open. Sometimes things from within the cupboards have been pushed out. Another time, as the resident walked down the hallway, the door to the linen press slowly swung open. He slowed, watching it, and thought maybe it swinging open he might not have shut it properly. However, when the door swung back and clicked back closed, he knew a spirit was messing with him. The paranormal activity is usually only obvious during April. However, since the tours began, the spirits had not stopped. They're continuing their activity despite numerous cleansings. Near Edward Crook Park, a spirit of a rabbit can be seen hopping free as it never could in life. Another house, which is no longer there, It's a ghost house. However, before it was pulled down, it had a tragic past, leaving a broken woman in the house. Not all people who experience severe heartache are left broken, but some do. And that is the case. While her body was broken, so too was her spirit. She doesn't leave her home, because where else is there to go? Who would believe her? Who could even help her? The house is haunted. It feels very depressing and very cold, despite the best efforts to warm it up. A woman's screams can be heard at times. The house doesn't keep living residents for long. They can't bear to live with the woman and her sadness, her screaming and the constant chill in the air. There is also a smell they can't remove, no matter how much they try, how many times they clean down the walls. They clean the carpets, mop the floors, or how many candles they burn. An apparition of a cat is also seen around Edward Crook Park. It is said that it's not the cat spirit, but a guide who takes the form of a cat to help someone. A person who has a cat guide is usually creative, and even psychic person. The cat guide calls for a harmonious relationship between the light and the dark. This is probably why it's also seen during the day. In another house, is an elderly couple seen in their cardigans sitting on the porch, rustling comfortably about their house, continuing their loving relationship beyond the grave. Their love was so strong it brought them together in the house they grew old in, to continue in death, drinking tea around the table. At the Rosedale RSL, it's just a building where the RSL members meet. There was an apparition scene, but firstly, well, it was seen on the road there. A friend of mine asked why everyone only ever sees people wearing clothes from the olden days. Why is no one ever wearing a Nirvana t-shirt with jeans? Sometimes it is what people expect to see when making sense of the spiritual, and seeing something that looks like it fits in, but doesn't, makes people feel weird. Many people don't want to believe what they see. So when I was told of an apparition seen on this road, looking from the RSL down towards the Mechanics Institute, of a man on a mobility scooter trundling down on the footpath, the person looked up, expecting to see him again. But he disappeared, and there's nowhere to go here on a mobility scooter. Rosedale has ghosts of horses. The sale entrance to the town is a floodplain. In the early days, the bridge was built low to the ground. The water would rush in with no warning, causing havoc on the bridge and claiming lives. In 1863, a man crossing with two horses and a cart was caught up in a sudden cascade of water. He managed to get control, however, not before losing a horse. In 1868, a farmer was moving his cattle when the thunderous sound of water spooked the animals. Before too long, it was on top of them. 45 head of cattle was moaning and thrashing about as the water swirled around them, dragging them under. The locals in the late 1800s said they saw an apparition crossing the river, sobbing, sitting atop his cart pulled by two horses. He disappears halfway across the bridge. This is below the level of today's bridge at Willow Park, and it only happens once a year. In 1873, the Walhalla mailman and his horse and cart were swept away in a torrential flood. He would have known it was coming. The horses would have heard and felt it too. The wall of water makes it difficult to escape, with the steep banks on either side, no matter what he tried. The reason the apparition disappears as the phantom floodwaters rush in and take him out once more. Thank you for your ears, dear listeners. I hope the Rosedale ghost stories have given you a greater understanding of the mysteries of this area or the chills you've been looking for. Tell us if you've had the nerve to listen on location. Please check out hauntedhillstours.com.au. You can find the details to take a self-guided tour. If you want to support the podcast and get early access, ad-free and participate, you can sign up on patreon.com/hauntedhills. Or write a review. Reviews help us to grow and continue to share these stories with more people. If you like it, please share it with your friends. This podcast was produced, researched, written and narrated by me, Tegan Dawson, on Gunai Kurnai land in Moi, Victoria, never ceded. Sound engineering and music by Aaron Austin Music. Next time on Haunted Hills, we'll be telling the history of Traralgon. You can follow us for more small towns, big stories on the socials, Facebook at Haunted Hills Pod, Twitter at haunt_hills, or our pod website. You can search Haunted Hills Podcast or type in the URL www.hauntedhillstours.com.au. Thank you so much. Be kind, be thoughtful, stay safe and healthy.